Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs.
Yeah, I have two rings now on my finger. My hand is kind of sagging whenever I walk around. It's amazing.
Feels pretty nice to say we're Super Bowl champs. We didn't talk about it all last year. And wow.
Well, we've been celebrating ever since, and that's probably why. We just feel like, I personally feel like we didn't need to keep doing this podcast or whatever we call this thing that only us two listen to. But I was thinking, the Chiefs don't need this, man. Like, we got enough energy going. We have the greatest quarterback who's ever walked the face of the earth, and probably Mars, with one leg. And he beat the Eagles, which were the best team I've ever, honestly, I can't think of a team that was that good put together since the 49ers. And again, this is me coming from my knowledge of playing Pee Wee football till I was 12 years old. So, like, I know my football. So I just overall felt like the team didn't need it. But, man, what a ride. So excited for this year. Can't wait. I'm just like, literally, I still have the chills from the Super Bowl. Even though it's 100 degrees outside, I still have the chills.
Well, I still have the chills now watching the NFL. Was it quarterback thing on Mahomes on Netflix?
Yes.
Watching that Raider clips, anything else? Because we were at that game. That energy was crazy. If you ever been to Arrowhead, anyone who's listening, if you've never been to Arrowhead, there's nothing like it. It was the first time of me ever going, and that was absolutely amazing. The crowd was insane, and everything went on that game, and it couldn't have been a better experience for me the first time ever going to Arrowhead and seeing it go down the wire, especially against the Raiders. That was just an awesome game. But so, just watching that Netflix special, man, it's crazy all the things that Mahomes was saying. And did it catch you off guard a little bit, like all this trash talking?
Okay.
Like,
so
I mean, be honest.
I'm not lying. I say this. I probably watched that game maybe 50 times, like, since we went to that game, right? Like laying down, like, you know, like resting or just listening to it, just because we were there, and it's just so cool, like, to relive it. I had no clue on any game I ever watched. I didn't see a single scuffle between Mahomes and Crosby. So when I first saw that, I couldn't believe it. So I've been continuously watching the game. I still can't see it, like, when it was live, but that documentary was the most – I had no idea. So, of course, we were there. First, I was trying to see if I could see me eating a cheeseburger or a hot dog or French fries or whatever else I ate, because that food was amazing. But, yeah, like, I couldn't believe it. Super excited to watch it. And that access is, like, you don't get that. Like, it was so interesting. It's, like, honestly, it's changed my perception on football. Like, I had no idea that, you know, players can get injured like that. I knew they'd get injured, but I had no idea, like, I mean, Kirk Cousins in the ice bath, and like you could hear him when he was grimacing when he got hit. Like, that's horrible. I had no idea.
I thought it was cool.
Like, super cool.
I thought it was super cool. Is like showing like the family aspects, the dynamic, and having to, you know, you play a game, then get in the car, and just go home, and going through a loss or a win, and how they handle themselves, and talking to their friends and family, and afterwards. And I mean, Kirk Cousins, man, is funny. He's definitely the dad. Like, he watched the Netflix series, he definitely pulled off the dad vibe. It's like, it's really funny. But it's great, you know, it's like his thing. But he said, like, in the documentary, he goes saying, like, all I do is, you know, I don't focus on the noise. I just focus on my family and work, and that's it, and go back and do my thing. And then it's funny seeing him and seeing Mahomes. I like how the documentary did, like, three different people in their careers, like, showing, like, you know, Mahomes at the top of the game, Kirk Cousins at the end of his career, basically, he's getting up there in age. And then Marcus Mariota, if he's, you know, just starting a new chapter, is he going to go on or whatever? And so I thought it was interesting how they picked those three.
So I first of all, I had no idea, like, how much I was going to fall into a man crush for Kirk Cousins. Because, like, yeah, you always watch him from I forgot he was drafted the same year as RG3, like, two rounds later. Like, I completely forgot about that. And, like, he really is, like, came out of nowhere. Like, he didn't come out of nowhere. But, like, you know, he was a third-round draft pick. He was a backup. Like, I wouldn't have thought that, you know, he would be, you know, going to be where he is now and even better, like, one of the highest-paid quarterbacks. But super fell in love with him. But I thought the funniest part with that was when they were saying that he was drowning in Kohl's cash. Because of his oh my god, that was so funny.
The clip of the Dan Patrick show, shout out to the Dan Patrick show, but showing like the interview asking him, like, we were trying to take a bet, like, what brand you're wearing. Were you putting LL Bean? Were you wearing I forget what they said, like all the different brands. It cracked me up because the flannel he wore, the flannel shirt. So he's all, I have to admit, it was Patagonia, and my wife picked out my clothes. So that was really funny.
I really hope for the best for him. Like, I hope the Vikings do well next year. Like, I don't know, man. It was just cool seeing, because I mean, I think he's so relatable. Like, I just feel like in my, you know, like anything, like your job or, you know, in jobs, like, you know, you might not be the best, like, of the top 5, you know, 10%, and you're trying to get there. So, like, it gives me hope. Ask, you know what I mean? Like,
ask Justin Jefferson that.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson. New like, top 5 quarterbacks. He left him out.
I know, man. Like, I hope.
What?
I
hope, yeah.
I was also thinking, too, because, like, I've been listening to, like, you know, to the all the media talking about how, like, because he'll be a free agent, I think, after this year. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if I was – and I heard, like, the 49ers really like him. Like, that would be a match made. I think, like, if I was him, he also drives a van, which is sick. I had no idea. That was so cool.
First thing, he relates to a family dad. I mean, you have 3 kids. I have 3 kids. So, here you go. You know, that's why he likes but I mean, the whole Mahomes, though, was cool showing him, like, his new house, like, because they already, you know, they showed it all on Twitter and everything else. But his new house being developed and showing how it's going to be like, and that was kind of cool getting to see
it. House is huge. It has its own basketball court and football field.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's got a little golf hole, you know, his golf course, little hole, par 3 that he's got, too. I mean, he's definitely living the dream, and he's definitely
he's the greatest. All high he's the greatest quarterback that's ever walked the planet of the earth, even with one leg.
I mean, that what was that, Nick Wright? Nick Wright, what he was saying, like the top quarterbacks, and he said, "Yeah, number one, Mahomes. Number two is Mahomes with one leg." I thought that was the
That's another thing is like I knew he was playing through pain, but like, I mean, it was obvious, like high ankle sprain again, like all.
Oh yeah.
3 years of playing NFL, Pee Wee football. I never had any kind of – I wouldn't even know, but it's like a total mindset. Like, I think it's super interesting because he was basically saying, like, even his parents when they were talking, he's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And, like, he was – like, 10 minutes before that, he was like, I'm just convincing myself it's not hurting.
He had that mental mentality trying to say, like, I'm fine. But the best part, I thought the documentary series was with him and Andy Reid on the sidelines. Like, I'm not getting out. No. And he's like, fuck, yeah. He's getting all mad and everything else. And that made me laugh. It's like thinking that, like, you take your kids to the park and they're trying to leave and they're, like, throwing a fit. That's what kind of reminded me of.
I was thinking, too, like, it would be so much fun to play with a guy like that. You know what I mean? Like someone who's that, like, obviously he's super committed, but he's just so talented and he's such a competitor. Like, it's so fun to, I would love, you know, can you imagine being in the huddle of some of the things he probably says?
That's why, like, he's got the locker room.
Like, when he threw the ball against the buck and he's like, I think he's like, I'm like that. That was so cool.
I mean, it was just like, you gotta love it. And he just, you know, keeps that energy going. Even the another thing I love about Mahomes, though, whenever that he's going bad, he doesn't really show that energy, like, going down. Anything, if they're down by how many points, he's like, oh, we can come back. We got this. And he's like keeping the up, you know, teammates, high-fiving everybody, getting them all riled up. He's keeping everyone's confidence going. That's what is crazy to me, is like how he could do that. Even when he was getting hurt, he was just like grimacing, but like, you know, how much pain he had the microphone on. It was crazy to watch that. Well,
could you imagine? I mean, because I have no pain tolerance whatsoever. Like, I literally lost my toenail, my pinky toe foot. And like, I'm not gonna lie, that's really embarrassing. But even if like you were like a player who got hurt, like let's say you like hurt your shoulder or your pinky or whatever, and then you see him go with that kind of pain, like, can you imagine? You're like, damn it. Like, I have to suck this up. Like, and I have to, like, because this guy is, like literally playing on one leg with, like, a ligament attached. And so interesting.
I think one thing I thought was interesting, too, was the documentary of the Raiders when he had that whole scene with Crosby, you know, in the face and everything else. He was mentioning, too, that he did that, too, because he thought it would help pump his team up to come back, like, to fire them up, get a, you know, fire in the cracker, let's get going. And just show him, like, hey, you know, you can't mess with me. But he kept saying, I'm him. And all stuff on the sidelines. So obviously, you got to love it. But it's just, it cracked me up.
So, obviously, we're Chief fans. But, like, I love Crosby. Like, even though, like, he, like, everyone, we should hate him. But, like, I love the pettiness he was doing. Because, like, it's like, if you were, like, a quarterback, like, that would be so annoying. if like every time he just comes around like flops on you or hits you, like I totally get it. And he's such a stud. But I had no, I would have never, like, again, we were at the game. I don't remember him going up in his face.
No.
And I just think it's like,
all I remember that game is the crowd. We were so upset with the Derek Carr and Chris Jones sack strip fumble thing that got called back for roughing the passer, because that ref was hearing it. Oh, like the boos and everything else. So that's probably why we didn't really see anything, because that was like carried off the first half of the second half. Like, it was brutal.
Well, so, that's why it also shows, like, when you watch things on TV, even like things on TV, like he obviously had to be mic'd up to see that. But there's probably like, if there's a way NFL could make that more like open and we could watch that, like, so captivating. Like, I still, like, when I'm listening to it or watching it, it's so cool. Like, I never would have thought, like, we could hear it to a defensive end that's like 6'5", 280 pounds, just runs full speed into him, and it's like, you woke up the wrong mother effer. Like, wow.
Yeah.
That was just, that's sick.
I mean, he definitely fired one up, but that was the best part, I think, for me, was seeing that you picked on the wrong person, like, poke the bear. Basically, it's like, you know, that's the wrong person to mess with. It's like Tom Brady, when people piss him off, all of a sudden he got on a tangent, right? He started going off crazy. But there's no one like Mahomes. And then that's the thing I wanted to talk about too a little bit, is that I'm excited for this year. I feel like with the draft, it was in Kansas City. That was awesome, like, seeing that whole experience. I still crack up seeing Mahomes and Travis Kelce go up on the stage and, you know, show off the trophy one more time. I love seeing the draft being in Kansas City. That was awesome to see. And I literally thought we're going to trade out of that first round pick, though, because like, we're the last pick of the draft. It's like, we better pick somebody in the first round. All those people showing up. So I'm excited to see Felix, you know, our defensive end, picked up for Kansas State. You know, now we lost Frank Clark. Be interesting to see. We see George and Felix playing on the field. So I'm excited. I feel like this is their best defense with Mahomes.
Which is
kind of scary to say for everyone else.
First of all, I feel like the draft was so long ago.
Like, oh, it was really
like
long
it was
ago.
Ages ago. Like, it's the not having football every weekend. It's like this. It's the worst thing ever in the world. But it feels like it was forever ago. But yes, I do. I can't wait to watch these, the rookie defensive backs that were playing last year. So I was mentioning, I think, earlier too, about watching that Chiefs Kingdom. It's on the NFL channel or whatever it is. I watched all the episodes, like, up to midweek of last. I haven't even seen it before, so I watched it. They had a special on, I think it was Williams, who did the pick six against the Chargers, the rookie. He's from Ventura.
Oh, Jalen Watson.
Watson. Anyways, they did, like, a really good detail on him, and it was just, like, just seeing how young that guy is, and, like, he was ready for the moment. He was talking about how, like, I just knew, like, one out of four plays, I'm going to make a big play. One of the four, whether it's, like, a tip pass or interception or something. And he did it, which was so cool. But that guy's a rookie, and he's coming back next year, and he was a seventh-round draft pick. So, like, I can't wait to watch the development that these guys have, because I think they're so underrated with the depth they have within cornerback, because you have Snead over there as well, which they had a really good special on him too, which I always recommend, because he's got a really cool story. So yeah, I can't wait to watch this defense. And the linebackers, like, we had the linebacker from the Chargers who Tranquil, he is a stud. So I can't even, and we still have, you know, the rookie from Wisconsin from last year and Willie Gay and
Snow.
Yeah, it's Burton. Yeah, I just
and then we got Andy Bolton and Nick Bolton, who is very underrated for how many tackles he did and everything else. So
I think all of them had 100 tackles last year.
We're so young. And what's funny is usually when you win a Super Bowl or in the Super Bowl, your team, you lose people, free agency, anything else. No one. I mean, I know we lost some people on our team, you know, Thornhill, Frank Clark, anything else. But it seems like we got younger and better versions of everyone who left. You know, Orlando Brown leaves, and you know, he goes to the Bengals, which is going to be a sore subject when we play against them. But but it's, I don't know, on the defensive side of the ball, I feel like we've gotten younger. I think we're stronger. Got a lot of speed. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen this next upcoming season. And today was the first day of training camp, a report to camp for the rookies and quarterbacks. So it was nice to see Mahomes, you know, coming to camp on time. There's no issue with his contract. Even though he's definitely, we're saying, underpaid now. So it'll be interesting. Do you think they'll rework his contract to get more cap space? Or is it Chris Jones going to happen first?
I think whatever Patrick Mahomes wants or asks for, we should just do it without even questioning it. Don't even care. Like, you gave us two rings. Like, you're the greatest. I mean, I don't think he's going to – sorry, my fan's making a weird noise. I don't think he is going to demand more money because I do think – because he said this all offseason from everything I've been researching every 10 minutes. Like making the team around him really good because he wants to leave behind a legacy and wants rings. And he's even talked about like the endorsement he has. Like that's like the other income that he can support for his family while he's playing and having like the top eighth quarterback contract or eighth player in the NFL. Like, so I don't think he's going to demand it. I think if they were not investing those draft picks for like a good spot for the future, I think he would question it. But I think there's just so much trust there with Veach where he just, I think if he really wanted something, he'd ask for it, but it's the perfect situation. He's got the perfect mindset, and it's just – I just hope no one else channels that mindset with the combination of Andy Reid.
It's the perfect storm. It really is. Like, he's humble. He's humble for the most part, and he's really competitive, and he wants to win. And you can tell that by he laid it on the line with his leg all messed up. So, I mean, like, I'm not questioning that, but I was just curious if you thought possibly Veach would try to work a deal to get more cap space or move his money around. I don't know if that's going to happen, but the Chris Jones thing is going to be interesting because Veach, normally when people get paid high, you saw what happened with Orlando Brown, we kind of let him walk. I mean, we could possibly have Chris Jones play this last year on his contract and then tag him next year and try to sign him. I hope that doesn't happen, but I mean, we just saw the Williams defensive tackle. I forget his name. He just got signed a lot of money. Quentin Williams got 4-year, $96 million contract. So that's the bar. Cause he's definitely won't get paid. I think he'll get paid like $100 million. I think that's what it's going to be at because I know, Aaron Donald is highest paid. But we'll see if Veach will make that happen because if he does make that, it'll create cap space. Which would be great because there is, you know, now that Hopkins is gone, right? Which I kind of think we dodged a bullet. Like, I don't know if we would have paid that much the Titans did. You think the Titans overpaid for Hopkins? Because I feel like our receiver room, I mean, we have a lot of talent. I know people aren't talking about it. They said we need a lot of people. But, Justin Ross is one guy I keep a name that I want to see.
Well, the Richie James guy.
Yeah, he's another one.
I just YouTubed it. I'm like, this guy's a stud, and he kind of reminds me of like Tony in a way because Tony wasn't like really talked about or a lot. You know, like I know he was a first round draft pick, but like it just wasn't the right fit. But you just look at that. Like the more I watch like the documentaries and stuff from last year, they have tons of athletes. And I think they don't pick the typical type of receiver. Like I feel like they draft those picks that the receivers that are moldable, right? Right. Remember we got Tyreek Hill late round, kind of such a crazy athlete, right? But there was off the field stuff, but they were able to develop him into what he is today with his work ethic too, right? So I feel like there's a lot of depth in that room, and I really think that I think D-Hop would be an amazing addition, but it would hinder the growth of some of those young players that really could develop, right? And it's smart contractually, right? Because you can not pay that prior price tag for an older player and you get more value in the long term. I think they're going to stick to their guns what they currently have in a receiving standpoint because I think they're really talented.
Because there's rumors now that someone was circulating out because Kenny Golladay, you know, the free agent, he used to play for the Lions, and now he was playing for the Giants, and then he got released. He's like 76. Yeah, we're getting like
every single giant receiver that's available. There's Richie James from the Giants. I mean, it works.
Yeah, he's from the Giants too. So there's a possibility that could happen, but I don't see it. I don't think they're going to add anybody else to the wide receiver room. I mean, you got that's what's going to be interesting. Like, who do you think this is going to be a good camp battle? Because you got Tony, you got Sky Moore, you got Valdez Scantlin, you got Justin Watson, who signed a 2-year deal. So if we release him, it'd be kind of interesting because you know, eat up some cap space. You got Richie James. You also got John Ross, who's trying to make a out of retirement or whatever, you off the wall. And then you got Justin Ross. And then you got to remember, we just picked up in the second round. I think it was the second round. It was Rashid Rice, from SMU. So, like, there's a lot of possibility there. But I really think, I hate to say it, but I think it's either Justin Watson or Justin Ross. And I think John Ross. Those three of the guys, I think, are going to battle for the last spot. Because I don't see two of them have to go. Because we like Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes. Andrew Reed and Veach, they like to keep a lot of tight ends. So we're going to keep four tight ends and keep, you know, that many receivers. I just don't see it happening. And we always like to have more offensive linemen too. So it's going to be interesting because we'll see what happens. But I mean, I feel like Justin Ross, John Ross might be the odd ones out this time because I know Richie James plays special teams. He does punt return, kick return. So it'd be great to keep him there. And he could take it off of Sky Moore, you know, for punt return and Tony also. So that'd be good. And Justin Watson plays special teams also. And so it's just – I don't know. I'm really surprised to see what happens with that camp battle coming up.
It's a good problem to have because when I think about – you just make it simple. Like, who are the top targets for Mahomes just in general? Number one's got to be Kelsey, right? And then two, I would say probably the most, like, upside would be Tony. But I think Valdez Scantling is – like, he had made some catches last year. I was watching the Cincinnati Bengals game, the playoff game. Was it the Bengal game?
It was the AFC Championship game. That was his coming out party.
Remember that one play where he stretched his arm across – like, literally it looked like he stretched his arm, like, 3 yards, like, in replay. Yeah. It was amazing. Like, he is a talent. So I got to think about that. I guess I got him. You got Kelsey. I like Tony. Tony again, like, really sealed the Super Bowl with that punt return. Like, he's a stud, so he's got to be either returning every punt possible or and then giving the ball at a receiver. But he does have injuries, which was the only, you know, downside. But I'm sure he's working through that. And then Sky Moore. I want to see Sky Moore more this year. I want to see.
More.
I think he's. Yeah, I think he's. Well, he's. He's got big hands. He's really quick. He's very smooth. I don't know. It's really exciting. If I was Pat Mahomes, I would be like, I just trust Andy Reid. It's a hard decision to choose from those guys, but it's going to be fun to watch.
And then you look at the tight ends, Noah Gray, you know, he made a few good catches, you know, that kept it in the playoffs, kept first downs going through, you know, and Blake Bell, we still have the belldozer that he's up in age too. And then you got Jody Fortson. So, like,
Noah,
that tight end group is great. So, and then there's rumors that supposedly people are saying that was real. Blake Bell might be one that might be get cut. But I don't know. I have it hard to believe, but we'll see.
He does the QB sneak, so we're going to need him for that.
Yeah, we're going to need him for that for sure.
But Noah Gray, the highlight from last year I remember was his one-handed catch against the Tennessee Titans, that dogfight game, and he got this one-handed pass. Oh my god!
Moves the sticks.
Yeah, he knows the offense. Like, he's athletic. Like, he's another guy that not every traditional, you know, fan knows, right? But he's really good. He made some big plays in the Super, like locking and stuff like that in the Super Bowl. So, like, he's very underrated.
Oh yeah, and then it's funny because we get all these guys that played quarterback before, you know, in high school and the else. So it's like, you know, Kelsey played quarterback. You know, Blake Bell played quarterback. I think even Noah Gray did play a little bit too.
Pacheco. Was a stud, you know, baseball Pacheco. Player in high school. He won a state title or something like that. Like, that guy's a stud.
And his story is interesting. I don't know if you saw any of how he almost gave up on football and everything else. It's just crazy. But, speaking of him, I saw just recently because he had all these – I guess he had injuries. I didn't even know he had a shoulder surgery and everything else, and he had a messed up shoulder during the Super Bowl and anything else. But he might start on a PUP – his shoulder – he had an issue with the shoulder, I think it was.
Yeah. Shoulder surgery. Say that as fast as you can. Shoulder surgery. I would be a horrible shoulder surgery surgeon. That's not funny. I don't think it's funny. Shoulder surgery. I think it's funny the word because Pacheco's a man. He's a champion.
But now Pacheco might, at least like was on the news, is that he might start on the PUP list. So performance was called under. Yeah, so he might be out 4 or 5 weeks. I know there's a defensive lineman. I'm forgetting his name now off the top of my head. He was hurt last year with ACL rehabbing, and he's going to start off on that 4 to 5 weeks. So we'll see.
But that one hit against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, oh, my God, against Pacheco, I wonder if that was the hit on his shoulder.
I don't know. But
do you remember that? It was like the last – I think it was the third quarter. God, he was running so hard, and that guy – now he's going to the Lions. He was a stud too, but sorry, that's what I thought about his when he got hurt.
So, but he might be out, so that's be interesting to see what's going to happen because, the running back room, we have Pacheco, CEH, McKinnon, the Jet, and then there's that rookie – undrafted rookie. I don't remember his name right now, which is really bad. But he was turning heads, and I guess the Jet likes him a lot. McKinnon was saying also he was really good and really well. So I'll be surprised if we keep all four running backs right now because we might start off with some people with injuries. But there's rumors, the CEH might be traded out, and everything else. But I don't think we
– I think we need him. That.
But I do too. I do too. And I think he's going to play hard for a contract, especially now running backs. Look at, all these running backs that are trying to get paid, and they're not getting paid as what they, should be valued, I guess, a lot of people are opinions. But, it's the way the game's changing now. You're looking at a third receiver is getting paid more than a running back now. It's kind of shocking because, think about it. You maybe get 3 or 4 balls thrown your way if you're third receiver, right? But you're a running back, you're touching the ball at least 10 times, at least 10, 15 times. You know what I mean? And if you're splitting carries and you're taking all that punishment every play, it's crazy to see that.
My light bulb just went off in my head. I have solved the running back crisis. So I'm thinking, why is it? Because first of all, running backs should be getting paid. They go through abuse. If you saw what Kirk Cousins went through and he's a quarterback, can you imagine, 15 to 20 car accidents in a 3-hour period, what these guys are going through. But it's dawned on me because all these really good generational quarterbacks are coming out more and more, and that's where all that money is going. It used to be where King Henry, right? He gets paid as much as he does because, their quarterback is good, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. It's there are some of those teams, if you don't have an elite quarterback, the top 5 quarterbacks, Pat Mahomes, one leg, Pat Mahomes, and Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, the top guy, no offense to the ones that haven't proven it or whatever, but that's why. Yeah. So which sucks to be a running back. I think Pacheco is just, he had some serious runs last year. And I also think Clyde Edwards, we don't remember, but when you watch over the film from last year, he still had a lot of great plays. There was just that
score one touchdowns.
Yeah, there's a lot of touchdown passes when he let the ball hit him in the head, that's gonna happen. So he had mistakes. I just think it was Pacheco was that guy's a stud. They're both
Pacheco, Pacheco's a stronger runner in the middle of tackles and anything else. That's what he is. He's like your thunder. The CH has got some wiggle and everything else, but Pacheco though is quick too. That Super Bowl run. Or not a Super Bowl, it was the Jaguars game. When Mahomes went down, remember the documentary series, when Mahomes went down, he's all throwing a fit, right? And then it's Chad Henne is coming in and they started that drive going down and you see this one play, hand the ball off to Pacheco and he had a 40-30 yard run. So he's still got wiggles and speed too, but I think he just runs, I think Mahomes made a quote that he just runs angry. He reminds me kind of in a sense Larry Johnson when he first started before he got his paycheck when he was really younger in his beginning his career where he started running hard running over people because he's getting pissed off because Priest Holmes was getting all the glory and he wasn't getting anything, but I think the running backs it's sad to say but I think a lot of them are just a lot of them too are not getting paid but the think about this though too. The quarterbacks are now more being the runners. Think about it. All the new quarterbacks that are coming out really are dual threat. So let's look at Jalen. You know, Hurts. He's taking most of the running. You know, play doing a lot of running plays. You got Lamar Jackson, Marcus Mariota when he was you know the Falcons.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's taking scary. The beating. You know that kind of thing. You know so. But there's still the traditional quarterback like Joe Burrow, you know, Herbert. They'll stay in the pocket like robots and throw, you know, have accuracy and anything else. But I think a lot of it has to do with that, too, is that they're – that was so crazy, too. So some guards are getting paid more than the running backs. But then the one position that I think it was really funny, Travis Kelce was talking about his brother on their podcast, was how tight ends are paid so less. Like he could not believe how low they were getting paid compared to other positions. And that's another person. Travis Kelce was saying, like, yeah, I'm underpaid, but he's got all his endorsements. So I think he's going to be fine too. So it's just.
My God, he's another person that, like, when you think about it, it's like you have a generational quarterback. Like I said, I think he's Michael Jordan. Like, and then you have Travis Kelce, but he's like Scottie Pippen, but no offense to Scottie Pippen, but he's like so much better than Scottie Pippen. And then you have Andy Reid is like this the things he thinks of, like all three of those together, it's so fun to watch. And as long as Kelce remains healthy, which he looks like he's doing well as he gets older, like it's just so fun to watch. Like, can you think of three like quarterback, head coach, you know, receiver, tight end? I can't think of, like, Tom Brady was great when he had, let's say, Randy Moss for that one, like, 1 or 2 years. But besides that, like.
Yeah, Randy Moss.
I don't know who's going to beat that trio. Maybe that's a really good trio, actually.
That was that's probably the best trio. And they still lost the Giants, though, to Eli, so, you know.
Yeah. That's a good trio.
But I think it's the trio that probably wins it all. I don't know. Unless. You know, Rashid Rice becomes that Randy Moss threat. Who knows? Not to put the expectations so high on him, but I'm really excited for the receivers group, the receiver, you know, tight end. The whole offense is going to be fun to watch again, like always. I don't know if you saw the documentary series. I talk about how the snow globe, how they came up with that play. I guess they've been practicing for, you know, a couple months or almost a year and finally got to implement it. The best part about that is that they scored a touchdown right with Tony on it, and then they got called for a penalty. And the next play, they scored the next touchdown again with Tony anyway. This tells you how bad the Raiders were last year. But I'm excited. It's gonna be interesting. I'm hoping Chris Jones comes to camp on time. Do you think he's gonna hold out? Do you think he's really gonna threaten to hold out for a while?
Even if he holds out, it's not because I don't think he wants to be a Chief. I think it's just. It's a long season, you know, like I would, if I was in his shoes, I totally understand, like 18 week season plus a training camp. If they're not paying you to be there at that particular time, like as long as he's working out and he shows up in December and January, which I believe he will. And I can't, like, that guy's a freak, man. He's 6'5", 6'6", and he looks like that. That's a huge human, you know, like that's another thing. You add a fourth into that trio. You add Chris Jones, like he's a stud.
Yeah, he might
making a weird noise. Sorry, this podcast isn't paying any bills around here.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. I think Chris Jones. I think he might show up for a little, might hold out for a little bit, but I think he'll come back. I don't see him holding a grudge.
He likes winning championships, man. He's in that same mindset with the greatest quarterback of all time and Andy Reid. My gosh, you got to watch that the NFL special channel on all those. It's so good that like they talk about Andy Reid and how like he wants his players to like be them. You know, why I think people love playing for him is it's not like, you know, you feel like you're working. You know, you're having fun. You're playing a sport you love, and he's letting you be yourself. And as long as you're not doing something, you know, stupid, like it's cool to watch.
And I love that.
Everyone wants to go to Kansas City to play with the Chiefs.
I think it's awesome that he lets them do. I think it was on Wednesdays. Mahomes was saying on the Netflix special, they call it the lab where they make up plays. And then Andy Reid's like, "Yeah, I got 51% though to say if we're gonna put it in the game plan or not." But I think that's awesome. They get to mess around, you know, some sense, you know, mess around, come up with their own plays. It makes it interesting. So the players feel like they're involved. It's not just being like told everything like a soul, you know, to do. So I think that's interesting. And I mean, who would not want to come and play on offense with Andy Reid? Like I have a hard to believe. That's why I think it's kind of funny that Hopkins choosing the Titans.
I get it.
I get it. He's going for the money. It's like, did he go for the money or did he go for championships? Titans might be good. Who knows?
Hey, I mean, we'll see. I think it's really easy.
But
it's really easy.
It's really hard. It's really easy for me to say. I would turn down the money to go play with Andy Reid. I don't know. It's not.
I mean, think about it. Like, someone's like, "Hey, I'm gonna offer you, five buckets of cash, or 15 buckets of cash." Like, I want 15 buckets of cash.
I don't blame him.
But like, I would say, like, if he, let's say, like, you know, like, you only get paid in the NFL certain years. I totally get it.
Not for long. Like, that's what it stands for, right?
Yeah, I don't know if like he would make more money in the long run. I think you have to be a very unique circumstance, like where an agent, it's like, "Hey, look, this is what we have planned. I think you could do is you can get out of going to Kansas City. Like, you can get deals with Reebok or deals with Nike or whatever. You know, like, how could they do that?" Then I could see it. But also, it's also a risk. Like, you can go to Kansas City on a smaller deal, don't get a lot of impact, then you've missed out on your opportunity. Like, I totally get it.
Part of me was hoping that he would, if we were to sign him, that he would do the same thing kind of like Juju did last year for incentives to get, like, a low contract but get more bonus, you know? But I think in the long run, it was – we would have had to pay him a lot. I don't think we would have made as much as he did at the Titans. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. We're looking at all the divisions, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm just glad he didn't go to the Bills.
Yeah, that's the team I was glad. Speaking of the Bills, man, like, it's going to be interesting for them. It's like the whole saga that's going on. The mini camp, they canceled a day early. Stephon Diggs, you know, that whole situation. Who knows?
There's something wrong going on there. Something doesn't.
Isn't it great though? Being a Chief fan right now, and you don't have to deal with any of this. I mean, you watch all the teams just struggling, trying to keep up. And I love how now I hear the Chiefs as an example. See, they don't overpay their players. They move on when they're supposed to move on. And it's funny because, you know, being a Chief fan for so long, we never were in that conversation. It was always like, we're just good enough. We're going to make playoffs and lose. And now we're, sitting on top. It's just, it's still surreal.
Just think about this for a minute. Like, they played seven rookies in the Super Bowl last year. Was it seven?
Seven or eight. It was seven or eight.
Let's just say, even if it was
five. We're like one of the youngest teams, okay? Let's think of that, too.
And like, all those rookies are coming back, and you're getting deeper at linebacker, and you got some more draft picks, and you got deeper at receiver, and everyone's like has that whole mindset of, "Hey, that's Patrick Mahomes, and like if I just do my job, like we're probably gonna win it." Like, how sick is that? And I also like Matt Nagy's back, right? So he'll have another year.
Oh, that was cool. Did you, when you watched the Netflix special, like, I really could see him being more involved than you thought he was. Like, that's the funny thing that was really cool about the documentary. It showed, like, how everyone's involved. Like, even the trainers and showing the whole vaccine story of how everyone takes care of the players and everything else and how much work it goes into everything. But, like, Matt Nagy, like, I think he's going to be dialed in. I think we'll be fine with him as offensive coordinator.
He would be a fun guy to play for. And
Andy Reid. Oh, yeah, definitely. Did you see when he came to camp? They had a video of him coming to camp where I guess he likes pillows because he had like seven or eight pillows in his hands walking into camp. It's kind of funny. But I'm excited for that. You know, Eric Bieniemy, good luck with him with the Commanders, or the team they're gonna call themselves now. I don't know if that ownership's gonna change. But you look back at last year, so many funny things happened.
Like all the odd things that happened last year with all the teams. Like I still, the one that comes in my mind is the Patriots playing the Raiders. Just say that.
Wait, is this the one I'm thinking of? Is this the one at the end of the game where they threw it backwards?
Yeah. Throw it backwards, and then Mac Jones gets stiff arm in the face, falls down, and you see the Raiders go off in the end zone. Which, you know, being a Chief fan, you don't want to see the Raiders win, but it was really funny to see like that really just happened right now.
No. The best one that I saw again that I completely forgot. Oh man. Okay, so it was against the Denver Broncos. It was at Denver. Willie Gay intercepts the pass from Russell Wilson and then stiff arms him to the floor and then runs a touchdown.
That's another team. Broncos, can you imagine, man. I can't imagine. I can't imagine throwing an interception and then getting stiff-armed by the guy who threw caught your interception and throws you to the ground and runs the touchdown. That's just gonna hurt.
And like first of all, I'm actually afraid of the Broncos this year because.
I think the division's no joke. I think people are making fun of it, but I think the Broncos are gonna move way up. I mean, look what they did last year. Like their fans were chanting them, 5-4 play. So get the play clock in time.
What do you think? Bad. What is your thought? Do you really think that because obviously it can't just be one particular person. It can't be Nathaniel Hackett, right? It can't just all be him, and it can't just all be Russell Wilson. Do you think they just didn't show up or talk about plays or anything until
I think
they were like. It was in their opinion's face when they were supposed to call a timeout.
The Monday Night Football game. The Monday Night Football game against the Eagles against Seattle. That was, and you see Shannon Sharp and you see Eli Manning and Peyton Manning talking about the game. And they're trying to you see him just signaling timeout, what are they doing? And they're like, are you gotta be kidding? They're gonna take a field goal here from 60 yards. They had 3 timeouts. Let the clock all the way down and they kick and miss a field goal. Like, they're it's just Hackett, man. He's gone. You got the Jets. You know, good luck with Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think it's all his fault.
I don't. It was a combination. I think Russell Wilson was out of shape, kind of. And there's even plays with him where he's stumbling over his own feet falling down. Like, there's plays. It just seems like they were just all out of sync.
I don't want to, get bad karma, but I will have to say he's the highest person paid in the whole state, right? Isn't he the highest, the highest income earner? that guy. Those are the two plays we're talking about. To me, I think it's so asinine. It's unbelievable.
Well, he looks good, though. Russell Wilson looks like he lost some weight. I think he's going to be focused. But, when he would say, let's ride, it was the most cringy thing to hear. And I'm just glad that we don't have a quarterback like that that's cringy. His Subway commercials. I mean, it was just it's just all bad.
Okay. I'm hoping the best for him. Bad karma. I don't want any bad karma.
I know.
Russell Wilson, you're a multimillionaire. You're a stud. But that was funny when – he was stiff-armed. I would have been stiff. First of all, I could never. Again, I played 3 years of Pee Wee football. I have no athleticism whatsoever. But that is really funny. I'm sorry.
The Broncos. The Broncos always play us close. They haven't won a game. I don't think the whole time Mahomes has been a starter. So let that sink in right there. They've lost 3 times. Mahomes has been a starter.
It sucks, Skylar. I've been thinking about that ever since we haven't lost a game to them.
So it's gonna be. They're gonna have Sean Payton now take the helm, and he's gonna change the team. But I still don't think they're gonna take over the division. Mahomes, the Chiefs have to lose it if anything for the division. There's no one else coming up. Chargers, I don't count anyone out. The games are always close. They always are, no matter what the records are. I mean, Denver, look how bad they were last year, and they took us down the wire. Mahomes threw 3 interceptions in the first half. We still won the game. That was one of those games where you're like, what is going on?
Remember,
you got through it.
The team that scores the most points by the end of the game wins the game.
Yeah, so, I think you're right.
And as long as we have that guy, number 15, I don't care what he does. He's the greatest. Oh, man, he's so good.
valid like, question is, who's going to be the backup? Who's going to take over for Henny? That's going to be
isn't it Gabbert?
Shane Bleshy or Gabbert. They're going to battle it out.
Okay, well, it's not Bleshy. So. It's Michelle.
What'd I say? Yeah.
If you're already drinking, but good for you, Skylar.
Yeah.
Is it 7:30? We're good.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. It's
typical Saturday. I'm excited.
I'm excited. We'll see what happens. I know I won't go to a game this year, but watch a lot of games. Are you guys still trying to plan on going to a game?
If I win one of those NFL Fan of the Year awards, I think I'll be sitting nosebleed somewhere one day.
Yeah, we'll try to get more subscribers on this podcast. Maybe we'll make it. I don't know. Maybe we'll get on.
What would be really cool is if we get. We don't even need a person to go there. Let's just send a cardboard box that says whatever our podcast is. If we could get a – if fans could pitch in to send a cardboard box with our faces on it, that would be a dream of mine. Okay, question. Just throw us out there. Who are we playing Super Bowl Las Vegas this year?
Ooh. This year, who's representing the NFC? It's going to be – I think the Eagles lost so many people, and they're going to have a tougher schedule. And I don't know if they're going to be a number one seed, so I don't see them going that far. And I really think it's going to come down to the 49ers to see who's playing quarterback. If they can get because that team is loaded. I don't see the Packers going anywhere. Lions might be a surprise team, but let's see here. Vikings, who else? I mean, Bucks are going to be a dumpster fire. I don't see them going anywhere unless Tom Brady
comes in retirement. No. There was a safety who said, "We're coming. They're coming for
us." Yeah.
And first of all, you're right.
They're coming for the first draft pick. They're coming to get –
hype up your team. I'm all for it. But,
anything can happen, though, in the NFC. It's – I don't know. That'd be a good question.
In my opinion, I can answer it in 2 seconds. It's going to be the 49ers. The only reason why the 49ers are going to go is because the Eagles are going to have a hangover from the Super Bowl, because I don't think people really understand how hard it is. Because, again, I played 3 years of Pee Wee football. To lose the Super Bowl and then go back the next year, I'm not saying they can't do it. I just think that the new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, they lost some people. I don't think they're going to be back. I think the 49ers, literally, if they had a fifth string quarterback from high school, I think. You know what I mean? Because they lost.
Oh, yeah.
Every they were playing McCaffrey at quarterback. Like,
yeah.
And that team is like, they're. I'm just telling you. I think somebody is going to emerge. Again, if it's Brock Purdy, they have a chance. I even think Sam Darnold. I think if he gets this, good system, I think he'd be really good. So I think it's gonna be the 49ers, Chiefs, rematch of 2018.
I think you're right. I really do. I think the 49ers is going to be up in there. I just think depending on who's playing quarterback and how far they can go.
Doesn't matter.
With that defense being that way. But you know what's funny? just tore up that defense, though. And they're like, oh, we weren't healthy. I'm like, no, you had Bosa. You had all your defensive linemen. Like, they showed up on the first half, and then we blew them out the second half. So, I really don't see the 49ers giving the Chiefs a problem, but I do think the 49ers will probably them and the Vikings. I don't know why. I feel like Kirk Cut.
I would love that.
Their defense is so terrible, though. So that was the only thing I thought.
Yeah, but they got Brian Flores. I think he's a really good defensive coordinator.
Yes.
And he's coming to there. And I like their coach from that documentary. I think he's a – I don't know. I think Kirk Cousins is a stud too, man. Like, if I was a 49ers and none of those quarterbacks work out next year, he'd be the first guy I'd call.
He probably will, because I think they even said Shanahan liked him. I think he was the coordinator, I think, at the Redskins then.
Yeah.
When it was called the Redskins, Commanders, whatever you want. But I think he was there at that time. It'll be interesting. I don't know. I think the AFC Championship is probably going to be Chiefs and – Bengals again. Someone's saying Baltimore. I don't see the Ravens going.
I think
anywhere.
The one team, but... the the one team that Steelers. I think that nobody's talking about is the Jaguars. Those guys, because they
honestly, I think they're going to be the number one seed. I think of the AFC. I have a feeling that like either that.
Well, I don't want you to be honest with me. Then I want you to lie. I don't. That's not what I want to hear. I don't want you to honestly tell me that they're going to
get the one. Do you think the Chiefs? The Chiefs right now, I think are projected on the betting line. I forget what it was, like, to win every game. So maybe I'm wrong.
Have you seen the Chiefs play? They're really, really good. They have the best. They have the best.
Do you think they'll go undefeated? Go undefeated?
I think it's really hard to go undefeated 18 straight games like that, because, and especially with like everyone has a target on them, right? Yeah. Like, it's like everyone has a chance of playing, you know.
Look who we played the Texans last year. They played their best game of their life and they were just destroying hitting everyone hard and everything else, and we pulled off barely a win again in overtime. I think they're going to turn around the Texans, but I don't. And then another team that brought up the NFC, people say watch out for, is the Carolina Panthers. But that might be a lot of hype. I don't know. The whole NFC is going to be interesting and see who's going to come out top. But I think it's going to be 49ers and Chiefs, like you said, or possibly Vikings. I don't know. But we'll see. I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, just I'm over the start of the new year. Well, I don't know what else to say, man.
Go Chiefs.
It's been a long, long sign off, but I'll have to do this more.
Our box is going to be at not a press box, but a cardboard box. It's going to be at the Las Vegas Chiefs versus the 49ers. And the Chiefs are going to win 41-28.
We'll have a GoFundMe.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to cost, $8 to get this moment. How much would it cost? You think if we had a box arranged and, like, someone would maybe chaperone it, like, take it and just put it, like, anywhere in the stadium. It's like, this is – someone wants to pay to have this box just sit right here. How much do you think that would – you probably have to pay someone per hour to, like, watch the box. We're going to look into this.
Okay.
We did not plan this. This was just amazing idea.
We never plan anything, as you can tell by this podcast.
As you can tell with my family and my life. Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to sign off.
All right. Well, listen, have a great rest of your day.
All right, you too. Have a good one. Chief.